Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, now the 46th chapter. We are just streaming through the book of Isaiah. Now the 46th chapter. We're going to deal with the entire chapter, but just going to read a few verses to get us started. In fact, 46 verse 8. 46 verse 8. Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take our hearts and melt them into your word, Father, and just teach us and change us. And Father, draw us to serve you. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever heard of the Oracle of Delphi? The Oracle of Delphi was an individual that people came from all over the world to hope to hear. She was the priestess of the Temple of Apollo. Her prophecies were astounding. If you heard them, you would not understand them. I could say they would be Greek to you, but actually they were gibberish. Her prophecies would come out, the priests would then interpret them, and they would give them to you, and you could move forward knowing what she had said was going to happen. The king of Lydia went to the Oracle of Delphi. He wanted so much to get a gleaming piece of truth that he could carry his nation forward on. And so he put forth the question, should he go to battle with Persia? The oracle's message came back. The oracle said, go to battle with Persia, and a great empire will be destroyed. Well, that's all the king of Lydia needed to know. He went to battle with Persia with all of his forces, and true to her word, a great nation was destroyed. Lydia, it kind of turned on him. Throughout the ages, people have wanted to know what's going to happen. They have put a lot of stake into finding out who knows what is going to happen. We want to know the future before it comes to be. Today, as throughout the ages, people have sought out psychics. We used to have a helpline, a psychic line, which was 1-800-PSYCHIC. It went out of business. It seems like they would have seen that coming. Some people will not leave home without their horoscopes. The problem is the future is not written in the stars. The future is written in God's holy word. Today, people are mesmerized by individuals who can channel the dead. Are you familiar with this? People will travel all over the place to get a special meeting with a channeler that is able to draw your loved ones into a conversation with you, and they channel it all the way through. They channel the dead. How much ego do you have to think that your dead loved ones have nothing better to do than to wait around for you to find a channeler so they can send you a message? And yet, people seek out whatever they can find. Throughout the years, Ouija boards, seances, some way to get information of what is going to occur in the future from those that have passed. Some people want to know how they can avoid death. Maybe dead people is not where you go for the answer. So, what about the oracle? Well, the oracle was a few bricks shy of a load. She was, her elevator didn't go all the way to the top. She was loco en la cabeza. She was, you know, why did she just mumble stuff out? Well, they kept her in a cave. And they have studied that cave, and they found out that there was volcanic activity under the cave, and gases would come up through those cracks in the rocks, and ethylene gas would fill the cave. Well, that would work kind of as an anesthesia, and it would boggle her mind. It's a wonder that she was able to get anything out. Ever been around somebody in the hospital right after they come out of anesthesia? You can hear interesting stuff. That's where I get information for sermons. I want you to understand this about the future. Life is on a need-to-know basis. God is willing to give you what you need to know, but only when you need to know it. Otherwise, he keeps things to himself, and that is for your benefit. There is one thing God wants you to understand about the future. There is one who is in charge. Verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. I am God, and there is none else. I am God. There are none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. God makes this proclamation. It's not the first time he said it. In fact, he has said it again and again and again. And here Isaiah is saying, there is only one God, and there is no one else. Why would God keep saying this? Why would God keep repeating to us, there is only one God? Well, the first reason is very clear. There is only one God. The second reason is not so clear. That's our minds. We can't get it through our thick skulls. We keep looking for somewhere else, someone else, something else. And in doing so, we miss the fact there is only one God. Verse 5, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? Who are you going to compare to God? Who are you going to put up against God? God is very serious about you understanding there is no other place to go. There is no other one to go to. The Ten Commandments starts out, Exodus 20, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. Who are you going to compare to God? Who are you going to turn to instead of God? Verse 6 tells us that the idol worshipers would lavish gold upon their altar of building an idol. And then once that idol was built, they would fall down and worship the man-made idol. How foolish is that? Well, how foolish is it for you to turn to other people, to turn to other things, to look other places for your life's direction other than the one God there is? Verse 1 says, Baal bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. Now, Baal was the main god of the Babylonians. That is the sun god. Nebo was kind of his secretary, if you will, the education god. They were worshipped in idol form, yet they had no power. Had they had power, Cyrus would not have been able to defeat them. But, you know, their gods had no power, and so they were defeated soundly. There was no power to help them. They were loaded up on wagons, and they were carted away. They did not even have the power to follow them and stay with them. Verse 7. They bear it upon the shoulder. They carry it. They set it in the plain. It shall not move. Yea, one should cry unto it, yet can it not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Please understand, when you put someone instead of God, put somebody in between you and God, you're making them your God. When you put some place or something instead of God, that is your God, and false gods get you nowhere. They can't help. They cannot answer prayers. They cannot rescue you. They cannot come and save you. Now, that was true of Bel and Nebo. It's true of all false gods, the false gods of our world. Where are false gods? Where they're everywhere. Fastest growing religion on the planet is Islam. Islam bows before Allah. They want you to believe that Allah and the God of Abraham are the same. Well, in fact, they may have started out being the same, but they are not the same. Allah is the Arabic word for God. So someone in Arabic could cry out to the true God, but when they cry out to Allah in Islam, they are calling to a God of vengeance, a God that wants to destroy and kill. That is not our God. The Allah they cry to does not exist. And you know what? These martyrs that go into their deaths screaming Allah are going to have another word when they get on the other side. Uh-oh. And they're going to meet the one true God. There's Buddha. Oh, Buddha died in 480. He instituted a moralistic religion. And the concept of Buddhism is you're a god and you're a god. Everywhere's a god. Everything's a god. Everything will become a god. That's why you don't kill anything. Don't harm a bug because that bug may be your grandfather. Your existence is controlled by your karma. I cannot believe how many Christians I hear throwing around karma. That's like luck. Listen. As believers in God, we believe in His power, not in karma. Your karma determines your status. Good karma, bad karma, you die, you take your karma with you. What's that for? It's to determine what life form you come back as when you come back in reincarnation. You know, in Hinduism, they believe in something very similar. And in Hinduism, they worship the cow. And they really honor cows. And someone said, well, when I die, I want to come back as a cow. Well, you may come back as a cow in Texas instead of a cow in India. No, it does not work that way. We don't live by karma. We live by the grace of Almighty God. False Christ. There are people that name the name of Jesus, but they're not talking about our Jesus. They are false Christ. Two groups, there are many groups, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. I want you to know they are good people. I am not putting them down as individuals. They are good people, but they have a horrible belief system. They speak of Jesus, but He is not our Jesus. When we speak of Jesus, we speak of Almighty God. We speak of a member of the Trinity. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe there is a triune God. They do not believe Jesus is God. They don't honor Him as God. In fact, I had a Jehovah's Witness tell me that if Jesus is claiming to be God, I would think that He was not right in His head. I ended the conversation pretty quickly. But, you know, that belief that stops them from knowing who Jesus is. To the Mormons, Jesus is not the Son of God. He is not. He is a Son of God. Friend, those two articles that change make a lot of difference. Jesus is not the Son of God in their thoughts. He is the brother of Satan. That is not my Jesus. If you do not have Jesus, Almighty God, who left heaven's throne to come to this world, born of a virgin, living a life of perfection, dying on Calvary's cross, shedding his blood to cover your sin and mine, giving atonement, being placed in a tomb, and 3 days later, rising, proving he is the only Son of God, you've got the wrong Jesus. Mormons really have a different God altogether. Now, they tell you they don't. Listen to this out of the Mormon Journal of Discourses. Remember that God, our Heavenly Father, was perhaps once a child, a mortal like we ourselves, and rose step by step in the scale of progress, in the school of advancement, and has moved forward and overcome until he has arrived as he is. No! God was not a man like us. In the beginning, God was. He was there before us. God did not become a man who got enough points through the system so he was elevated to have the planet and be the God of the planet. Jesus is not a man who became God. Jesus is God who became man. There is but one God. He's not a man. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord God, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, I am the Lord, and beside me, listen, beside me, there is no Savior. So what's God want us to know? He wants us to know there is one in charge. The one does not change. Verses 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from their birth, who are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he. There is only one God. There has been only one God. There was never a tag team God where God got tired and another God had to come in. There is only one from the beginning. From the beginning of the earth, there is one God. From the beginning of Israel, there is one God. From the calling of Abraham and Moses, from the delivering of Israel, there is one God. And today, may I tell you, there is one God, and that one God does not change. He is the same as he was in the beginning. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. It is to your advantage that God doesn't change. God was a God of mercy when he started. He is a God of mercy now. Psalms 90 verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even you had formed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we change. We change. If you don't believe we change, take out a school picture. Your first grade picture does not look like your sixth grade picture. Your sixth grade picture does not look like your high school picture. Your high school picture does not look like your 30-year-old picture. And you can advance by decades, and the less you look like whoever you started out as. We change. It just happens. And through life, we change. And there is one thing very common I know among Baptists. We hate change. But if you're going to live on planet Earth, there is going to be change. But I've got good news for you. God doesn't. The promises he has made, he still keeps. And he will never alter. We might wonder how the God of our childhood could be the same God we have today as we are older. We're bound by time. God is not. There are many things in nature which God has created that either don't change or change very little. For instance, the sun comes up every day. It does. Now, sometimes we change the time around to where we're getting up at a different view, but the sun comes up every day. Don't you think the sun would get tired? Maybe the sun should take a day off, let the moon cover it. No. The sun comes up. Even when there's cloud cover, the sun is still there. You get in a plane, you go above the clouds, and boom, there it is in all of its glory. God has made that to where it's there every day. The laws of nature remain the same. Plants grow, weeds grow, often in my yard. But it just happens. On planet Earth, we have gravity. Now, I must confess, when I go to my doctor and get on the scales, I believe gravity has changed. There seems to be a greater downward pull. But on planet Earth, what goes up must come down. It hasn't changed. The laws of the harvest haven't changed. The ocean and its ebb and flow and tides has not changed. Now, all those things one day may pass away, but God does not pass away. His word remains true, and you can count on it in season and out of season. Almighty God has not changed in his person. He has not needed to change. He was perfect at the start. He is perfect now. He will always be perfect. Now, since God doesn't change, his salvation does not change. That means, my friend, if you ever come to Jesus Christ and you are saved, he doesn't change that. Your position is in Jesus, and you will be in Jesus for all eternity. You can't take yourself out. Nobody else can take you out because God doesn't change. He does the saving, and he does the keeping saved. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the Messiah and the sacrifice that would be made. God's plan of salvation doesn't change. Now on this side of Calvary, we look back to the cross of Jesus Christ, and through his blood, we find salvation and we are saved. In every day, our unchanging God has been willing to save every and any one who has been willing to come to him and receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. He continually puts out a cry for all to come. That means you, no matter how bad you have been, no matter what you have done, if you are willing to come to Jesus Christ, you can accept God's forgiveness and you will be saved. That does not change. Even me. If God can save me, God can save you. It is the same blood of Jesus that's powerful enough to cover all of our sin. And it does not change. And because it does not change, the offer to salvation does not change. And if you don't know Jesus today, you have an opportunity to come to him and be saved. There is one in charge. The one doesn't change. And oh, this is great. The one cares. Verse 4. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. You know, it's great to have God, but we have God on our side. That's better. We have God who cares and who will care. Don't you ever think God doesn't care for you? He sent Jesus to the cross for you. What would God have to do to prove he cares? God cares about all of us. There's a wonderful thing for you to count upon. No matter your age, whether you have a baby's fuzz, youthful locks, graying hair, white hair, or no hair, God is there. All the time. If you are a believer, the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave is available for whatever's going on in your world. He made us. He will support us. And when we cannot do anything on our own, he will carry us. That's my God. The God that doesn't change. The only God there is. The God that cares. And he cares so much for you. You may have put him to the side all your life. You may have not thought about him. You may have not concerned yourself with him. You may not have obeyed him or served him. He cares so much, he gives you an opportunity today to know him. If you've never met Jesus as your Savior, God offers that invitation to you today. And because he doesn't change, it's the same one he has offered again and again and again. And it's offered to you, and you can come to him and know him today. Why would you wait? Why would you put it off? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to know God. Today is the day to be forgiven. An old believer, you got Jesus. You believed in him. You believed that he saved your soul. Don't you think you should serve the one God there is? And maybe today, maybe today is a time when God touches your heart and you just say, well, I need to give him my all. I've been holding back. He didn't hold back from you. And maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray and ask God to forgive you, ask God to equip you, and ask God to use you. There's service for you to do. Plenty of places for you to plug in and serve the one God, the God that doesn't change, the God that cares. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for our time together. I thank you, Father, for the truth that you are God, only God, that you have not changed and will not, and that you care for us today. Father, there are individuals in this room that have never invited Jesus to be their Savior. Let this be the moment. There are individuals here, Father, who are believers, but Father, they know they're not giving you their all. Let this be the moment. Call us to decision. Father, that we might surrender all to you. Find victory in you. Find peace in you. And Father, find that we are loved by you. Thank you for what you will do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come as we sing?